You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Masters Deep Dive edition of the Bacon Bets podcast. It is officially Masters week. I'm recording this Sunday night. We'll be out there for you to listen to Monday morning, so we are just days away from opening tee shot at Augusta National. On this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some basic betting tips for the Masters. It's going to help you place your bets, enter whatever pools you're going to enter, create DFS lineups. I'm just going to give you a general overview of betting on the Masters, including my thoughts on basically all of the top golfers competing this week. I'm going to start by giving you my top tips, things to keep in mind, and then I'm actually going to go through the odds list and for each golfer, probably about the top maybe 30 guys. We'll see how deep we go. I'm going to look through their data golf profiles and give you my overall thoughts on them and if/how I will be betting on them for this week's major. This might be an episode that you may want to watch on YouTube because I'm going to share my screen and show their data golf profiles. But if not, I'll try to do my best to at least to explain it for all the audio listeners. So that's going to be this episode. My top picks will be this week's episode of Green on the Greens, which is on the Bet Side of the YouTube channel. That'll be live, as always, at 4 p.m. Eastern. That is a live stream, myself and Cody Williams, and we'll see if I can get a third seat on that show for this week's episode. That on that show, I'll be giving out my best bets, as usual. We'll treat it the same way, top 20, top 10, top 5. And my best bet to win. So that'll be live Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern on the Bet Side of the YouTube channel. But I am going to go over some of my bets. I already have a few outright bets placed. I'll go over them on this episode. Because this is Sunday night, there's not a ton of prop bets available, so I can't really get deep into all of my bets for this week. DraftKings specifically does have some, but there's a lot of bets that I like to place that I don't have odds yet for, things like top amateur, odds to make or miss the cut, hole in one odds, those type of things. I will either give them out on Green on the Greens, or I might even do a second episode of this. I might record an episode Tuesday night that'll be available Wednesday morning, where I'll literally just go through my list of all of my bets for first round of the Masters, and maybe I'll even do some first round three ball bets on that podcast as well. So like I said, this episode is just a general overview. And I'll go through all the top golfers and give my thoughts on all of them. So this is going to be the most helpful podcast probably in terms of the ones I'm doing this week, in terms of when you're filling out your pools, DFS lineups, and if there's some golfers that maybe I'm not going to talk about later on in the week, this will be the episode where I will talk about them. And just like I said, general tips and betting advice that you should keep in mind when you do fill out your pools and place your bets and all that stuff, because this is one of my favorite weeks of the entire year. It is Masters week. And for me being a golf bettor, top 3 week of the season. I think it's my Mount Rushmore for sports betting weeks is week one of the NFL season, first week of March Madness, Masters week, and then probably Super Bowl week would be my Mount Rushmore of sports betting week. So this is certainly on it. So before I start to get into it, a reminder. I've talked about this the last couple episodes, but it is now Masters Week. So if you haven't done it already, go ahead and sign up for it. If you've ever done anything for me, this is what I want you to do. Sign up for my Majors Season 5 and Done at Splash Sports. It is splashsports.com/baconbets. You can find the link to that in the description for this episode, both the audio version and the video version. I've also tweeted out the link a couple times. It is a 5 and Done pool for the major season. So obviously you have to get into it. Opening tee shot on Thursday. There's only 300 spots, so be sure to sign up to get your spot in this pool because it goes on for the golf season. It is all four majors. It is 5 and Done. It's $25 buy-in. You pick 5 golfers each major. When you pick a golfer, you can't pick them at one of the other majors. Top 10 placings get paid, including if we get all 300 people, if we fill it up, the first place finisher will win over $1,600. So please sign up for that this week. Like I said, it is for major season, and it obviously locks in with the opening tee shot at the Masters on Thursday. So please, please, please sign up for that. $25 buy-in, 5 and Done, splashsports.com/baconbets. Sign up for it right now. Do it. It's majors week. Let's get into it. So yeah, other than that, I guess let's dive into it. I do have some notes in terms of bets I've placed and some general Masters things to keep in mind. And then I'm just going to go through and actually kind of just live give my thoughts about golfers as I go through the list of odds. And I'll bring up the data, their data golf profile to go through them at the same time. So it's going to be a little bit of a live reaction to a lot of these golfers as well. So yeah, this is the Masters deep dive episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. Let's go.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws!
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man.
Okay, we'll start off with my futures that I have placed this week. Now, these aren't my official picks to win. These are bets that I placed futures on. Guys who I thought were going to have odds shorter this week than what they were available when I bet them. At least for two of the three, I know that as a fact. I don't think the third one kind of worked the way I thought it was, but we'll see kind of how the odds shake out throughout the week. So I'll just quickly break these down because, once again, these are not my picks. My picks I'll give out as I go through the golfers, and my final picks I'll give out a little bit later in the week. But the first one is Wyndham Clark. I did tweet this out. I think it was when he's contention at the Players. It might have been the week after the Players. But FanDuel specifically had him at 48-1 to win the Masters. So I bet on that. I have a Wyndham Clark ticket at 48-1. Now, we have some things working against Wyndham Clark. Most notably, this is his Masters debut. In debuts, very rarely, if ever, win at the Masters. But Will Zalatoris in his debut did finish second a couple years ago. So I guess it is possible. I probably wouldn't be betting on Wyndham Clark at his current odds because now I'm looking at FanDuel. He's down at 28-1. So this is, once again, just a future. I knew there's no way he was going to be 48-1 Masters week. I was correct. He's 28-1. Don't recommend necessarily betting on Wyndham Clark at his current price. But I'm just letting you know what futures I have in place. The other one was Hideki Matsuyama, who last week I wrote an article on fansided.com/betsided. I actually tweeted it out as well. So if you follow me on Twitter /X at Ian MacBets, you would have seen this. And my tweet said, if you want to bet on Hideki Matsuyama to win the Masters, don't wait until next week to do so. And then you can click on the article and break down my reasoning why. Basically, it was he's playing as some of his best golf of his career. He is the not defending champ, but he has won a Masters just a couple of years ago. And at the Valero Texas Open, I thought he was going to have a very good finish. So I thought his odds were going to shorten. I bet him at 28-1 last week. And if you listen to me, that would have been a great number. Because now Hideki Matsuyama, after he did have a good finish at Valero Texas Open, I believe. Let me see where exactly he finished. T7. So top 10 finish at Valero Texas Open, as I predicted. He is now at FanDuel. He is 18-1. I know I got the 28-1 at BetMGM. I believe it was. So let me just see where his odds are right now at BetMGM, but I guarantee you they're not 28-1. He is down to 20-1. So that is another future. That is just now I would necessarily probably still bet on him at 20-1, to be honest. I don't know what his best odds out there available are. It might be 20-1. But I still like Hideki Matsuyama regardless. I'll talk about him more later in the podcast, and I'll talk about him on Green on the Greens this week. But he might actually be my number one overall pick to win this week. Might be Hideki Matsuyama. Actually, I'll tell you right now, it is. My number one pick to win this week is Hideki Matsuyama. Hopefully you listened to me last week and got him at the much better price of 28-1. I also bet Brooks Koepka a few weeks ago at 20-1. Largely because last year, heading into the Masters, he did really well at the live event the weekend before the Masters. And then when he went on, I think he finished T2. I was hoping he was going to have another strong finish heading into live. He did not. So I don't think his odds are going to be that much shorter. He finished tied for 45th at live. What is it? Live Miami, I think they played in. Shot 7 over on the week. So Brooks Koepka is certainly not in the form that he was in heading into last year. At BetMGM, he's 18-1. At FanDuel, he's 18-1. So I might have actually still got a little bit of value getting him at 20-1. I think I bet him on Caesars. I can never figure out how to get Caesars on the desktop here. Let me see if he's still 20-1 at Caesars. He is 11-1 at Caesars. Holy moly. So I might have got a good price on Brooks Koepka as well. Not as much confidence that I would have hoped to have in Brooks Koepka heading into this week. But then again, it's Brooks Koepka. When he turns it on, it is the major. So even though he didn't play well at Live Miami last week, still a strong chance that he comes out hot at the Masters. All right. In terms of some notes here that I have for us to keep in mind, if you're going to be betting on the Masters, number one thing that I always like to talk about at the Masters as a lefty myself is that lefties have always done very well at Augusta National. You look at some past winners, Mike Weir, the only Canadian to ever win a major golf event on the men's side. Obviously, Brooke Henderson has his woman, but on the men's side, the only Canadian to win, Mike Weir, won the 2004. I should know that as a Canadian. One of those years was the first ever golf tournament I watched. He won the Masters. He is a lefty. Phil Mickelson has won the Masters a handful of times. Lefty. What, three times Phil Mickelson's won? Lefty. Bubba Watson, his only major wins twice at the Masters. Lefty. So lefties have had success at Augusta. I think the extension of some of the dogleg holes has nullified the advantage that lefties have a little bit. But the reason why lefties, at least this is the argument for lefties, Phil Mickelson won it three times, do well at Augusta is there are a lot of dog legs that go right to left, and it is always easier for golfers to hit a fade as opposed to a draw. A fade means you hit the ball and the ball fades away from you, and then a draw is the ball comes towards you. So if you're a right-handed golfer, then a draw would come to your left if you're looking at it out, and a fade would go to the right. If you're a left-handed golfer, a fade goes to the left, a draw comes to the right. So because there's a lot of dog legs right to left, that's a fade for lefties, which is a lot easier, whereas righties would need to hit a draw, which is a more difficult shot for most golfers. Now, like I said, the extension of some holes, a little bit longer off the tee, has nullified that a little bit, but it still is something to keep in mind. Even Brian Harman, who, let me look this up really quick, but I think he missed the cut last year, actually, ironically, the year that he actually went on and won the Open a couple of years later. Well, he has a T12 finish in 2021, who's a lefty. So yeah, lefties historically have done well at the Masters. Just something to keep in mind. I'm not saying necessarily go out and bet on all lefties, but it's something to keep in mind, especially when you're filling out those pools where it's like you have to pick a golfer out of like a certain group of guys. Just keep in mind that lefties historically have done well. One lefty who just got in the field, very interesting one, Akshay Bhatia, who just won the Valero Texas Open, wasn't in the Masters field, is only in it because he just won the Valero Texas Open. Obviously coming into the event in very good form, Akshay Bhatia is a lefty. Something to keep in mind. Heading into this week, he could be a good play, whether it's DFS or in a pool, we'll see. But Akshay Bhatia, lefty. The other lefties in the field, Brian Harman, obviously last year's Open winner, Mike Weir, and Phil Mickelson. I believe those are the only four lefties in the field this week. Could be wrong on that, but I do believe that is correct. Approach play is obviously king. Mid to long irons, a long approach is at Augusta National. 70% of shots are over 150 yards, including all par threes. So obviously good ball strikers. But funny enough, actually don't get caught up on good putters. Historically, actually, winners of this event haven't been the best putters in the world. I'm actually going to bring up a screenshot of a tweet from one of my favorite golf stat followers, Ron Kloss, at PGA Splits 101. And he tweeted, and this is last year he tweeted this, but I had this bookmarked. Overall strokes gained putting ranking of the past 15 winners in the season leading up to the victory. 2022, Scheffler 58th. Matsuyama 175th, DJ 48th, Tiger 74, Patrick Reed 72, Sergio 162, Danny Willett 60th. Really, and now I don't know what John Rahm's strokes gained putting were ahead of last year, but outside of John Rahm, really the last good putter that was really doing well with his putting before winning the Masters was Jordan Spieth, ranked 9th in strokes gained putting. But there is a lot of like Matsuyama 175th in putting heading into the Masters that season. Sergio in 2017, 162nd. Adam Scott, 2013, 130th. Bubba Watson, 2012, 142nd. Something to keep in mind, do not get too caught up on strokes gained putting when you're figuring out who you want to take in your pools and bets and everything this week. Recent form is extremely important. This is why I actually think, in some sense, betting on the Masters is the easiest of the majors to bet on, because really no massive long shots come out of nowhere, at least in the past decade, to win these. It's guys who generally were in very good form heading into this week. You need to be overall gaining strokes in all four major areas over the past few months. And every champion since 2012 has at least had one top 10 at a prior major championship. I'll say that again. Every Masters champion since 2012 has had at least one top 10 at a prior major championship. So that's why generally in a lot of these stats, it's all guys who have been good golfers for a while, have had good performances, generally has competed at Augusta in the past. If you're going to bet on a long shot, a guy, you know, completely off the board, I don't think this is the tournament to do it. I think the other majors could be. I mean, we saw Brian Harman off the board win last year at the British Open. You know, Wyndham Clark, in a sense, was a little bit off the board at the U.S. Open. Certainly, PGA champions have been kind of off the board. The Masters is not the major you want to do it. If you want to bet on a golfer completely off the board, take him top 20, top 5, something like that. I would stick to mostly kind of what I would say is quote-unquote chalky picks when you're talking about a pick to win at Augusta National this week. And this kind of further goes on to support that claim. Last 10 winners of the Masters ranked inside the world's top 30 heading into Masters week. Eight were top 20. Eight of those last 10 winners were inside the top 20. All 10 of the last 10 winners were inside the top 30. Seven of the last 10 winners already had a win that season as well. So that goes back to good form as well. So we're narrowing in on the top 30, really the top 20 golfers in the world right now. If we want to pick a winner, we're narrowing in on guys who have had success this season, who have been in good form, ideally already have a win this year. We're not going to look at bad putters and completely dismiss them, because bad putters have won this event quite often in the past decade plus. And then finally, you know, as a little cherry on top, maybe we'll favor a little bit of some lefty action too, if we're going to look at top 20s or for some DFS plays or something like that. I do want to go over the amateurs, because actually I do love betting top amateur at this event. As opposed to the other majors, I don't really care about the amateurs. This one, for some reason, I find it fascinating. There's five amateurs in the field this week. There's Stuart Hagestad, which you've probably heard before. This is his fourth Masters, I believe it is, because he's won a ton of the mid-amateurs. But mid-amateurs don't generally do well at Augusta, so even though he has some Augusta experience compared to the other guys, wouldn't bet on Stuart Hagestad. The name to keep in mind when you're looking at amateurs this year is Christo Lamprecht, who is the number one ranked amateur golfer in the world right now. He's a South African guy. He won the British Amateur. He won, 2023 British Amateur. That's how he got into this event. He golfs at Georgia Tech. Obviously, I mean, not super close to Augusta, but it's same state. So that's something to keep in mind. He's technically a local guy when it comes to college. Number one ranked golfer, amateur golfer in the world right now. So I think, now I don't have the odds for top amateur, but I'm most likely, and he's probably going to be the favorite, to be honest. But I'm most likely, unless he's like minus money or like even money, I probably won't bet him. But if he's probably plus one, if I get something a little bit longer than plus 150, even plus 150, I'm probably going to bet Christo Lamprecht. And I'm sure I'm butchering his last name, to be the top amateur. If he's too short of odds, if he's like even money, the other guy I think I'd consider is Jasper Stubbs, who's the 2023 Asia Pacific amateur champion. He's like ranked like 300th or something in the world amateur rankings. But he has some good pedigree, that you have to keep in mind. He's on Australia's, national team. He won, like I said, the Asia Pacific amateur championship. I think he's going to be a little bit of a sneaky long shot guy here as well. You could also look at the Latin American champion, Santiago de la Fuente. Now, what kind of supports him is he's already played a PGA Tour event. He played in the Mexico Open this year. He made the cut. He finished T46. He was T9 heading into the weekend and then collapsed a little bit there. So depending on the odds, if he's decent odds, I might go with Santiago de la Fuente. Nick Shipley, just forget him, is a 2023 U.S. amateur runner-up. Not really outside of that runner-up finish, not a really impressive resume. I don't think he's going to make any noise here. And that's basically all the amateur. So I'd stay away from Stuart Hagestad and Neil Shipley. Depending on the odds, I'm going to go Christo Lamprecht. And then if he's too short, I'll go for some value either with Santiago de la Fuente or Jasper Stubbs, depending on the odds. But the guy to actually like odds, you know, if you don't consider odds, the amateur to look out for this week is going to be Christo Lamprecht, the South American 2023 British amateur and a Georgia Tech golfer. So like if you're in, I know there's a lot of those golf masters pools where it's like pick one golfer from each group. Sometimes those pools will have like pick the amateur out of the five amateurs. I would go with Christo Lamprecht once again. Probably butchering his last name. How should we bet Tiger Woods? I don't know. Bet him to make the cut. Who knows how Tiger Woods is going to play? Obviously, the last time that we saw him was at his event at the Genesis, and then he withdrew because he had the flu or something. He finished 18th at the Hero World Challenge in December. I mean, if Tiger Woods is ever going to truly compete at another tournament, it's going to be the Masters, because Masters has a lot to do with experience, course experience, know where to hit the shots, know how to hit each shots in different areas. It's going to be Tiger. This is why he won the Masters in 2019. If there's any, you know, course where experience and knowledge of the course can overcome some skill discrepancies, which he certainly has compared to the top guns at his age currently, it's Augusta. So I think right now with the unknown of how he's truly feeling, I saw somewhere that he has a bummed ankle. I don't know how true that was. Bet him to make the cut. Bet him in maybe a first round three ball bet. You know, if you want to put some action on him, that'd be really all I would do to give you something to cheer for Tiger. But other than that, I wouldn't do much. We haven't really seen him play all four rounds and be able to compete all four rounds as well. And his game, to be honest, has not really been good ever since. The last time he actually had like a somewhat impressive performance was the 2020 Farmers Insurance Open. He finished T9 and gained strokes approach. And later on in like late 2020 when they came back, he had some decent performance as well. But if you look at his data golf profile, it's not good, which maybe I'll bring it up a little bit later. Other than that, there's one prop bet that I bet on every single year. It is a hole in one on the 16th hole. Might specifically do the fourth round, because the fourth round, one year they didn't. I think maybe it was the COVID year when they had it in the fall. But they always typically put the pin on the 16th hole in a favorable spot for the final round, where if you golfers just hit to a certain spot and then it funnels right down towards the hole. So I always bet a hole in one on the 16th hole. Yeah, like I said, one year they didn't put the pin on in that spot for some reason. It might have been the COVID year, which maybe there's a reason because it was so late in the year. But that's a prop bet I'm going to bet. Don't have odds on it yet. But that's all I have in terms of some tips for betting on it, especially for pools. Now I'm going to go through just name by name golfers on the odds list, and I'll bring up their data profile page and give you my thoughts on each golfer. So let's take a quick break. I'll be right back to go through the odds list.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
All right, let's do it. Let's go golfer by golfer. I'm going to share my screen here. So this might be the part if you want to switch over to YouTube. This is probably the part that you want to watch on the video, but I will try to describe it as much as possible. But the visual aid would help if you have the opportunity to do that. So let's get into it here. I'm just going to minimize myself. And I accidentally minimized my data golf screen, but okay, let's get into it. Just going to use DraftKings. I don't know why that's always the easiest sportsbook to bring up. We're going to go name by name. Obviously, the first one on the list is Scottie Scheffler. How I'm going to bet on Scottie Scheffler, he's 4-1 right now at DraftKings. And if you've been watching Green on the Greens, you know this. I've been betting on him top 10 and then rolling over the winnings for his past five or six starts. Basically, I thought I would have been up more money than I am right now, but he's what? Minus 200 to finish in the top 10 at the Masters, which is insane. And when you do the rollover method, it doesn't build up as quickly when he's minus 200 at all these events. So I think I've built it up to $140 off an original $20 bet. So the only way I'm going to bet Scottie Scheffler is just do the same thing. I'll roll over the 140 into minus 200, which I'll get 70, so I guess it'd be, I think I'd get 70, so I'd be up to 200 bucks after that if he finishes top 10. 4-1, I just, at the Masters with this stacked of a field, including, you know, live golfers, I just don't want to take Scheffler at 4-1, especially, I mean, last year, he did finish T10, but he, outside, I mean, T10, he won it, in, obviously, in 2022, T18, T19. I mean, you look at these numbers, they're unbelievable. A few weeks ago, Scheffler, I think it was the Players, was 5-1 to win the Players, and I bet on him to win, and I said, we're going to be praying for the days, or hoping for the days, where he was 5-1 to win a PGA Tour event. He's now 4-1 to win a major, but the issue is the major has these live guys. It has Brooks Koepka, it has Joaquin Neiman, it has Cameron Smith, it has Dustin Johnson, it has Bryson DeChambeau. So with those guys in the field, like, I would bet on him 4-1 if this was just PGA Tour golfers, but with the other guys in the field, I think that's too short. Now, with that being said, look at his data golf profile. This is unbelievable. He's now gained strokes putting in three straight events. Even the T2 at the Texas Children's Houston Open, he gained 0.11 strokes per round with it. The ball striking is unbelievable. I still don't think he gets enough credit for the run that he's been on. Look, T31 at the FedEx St. Jude last August, and since then, T2, T6, win, T5, T17, T6, T3, T10, win, T2. I'm going to roll over my top 10 bet and just hope for the best. And then other than that, if he goes on and wins, I'll tip my cap, but I might bet him a few, you know, three ball bets per round. We'll see how that goes. We'll see what the pairings are. That might be another way I'll bet Scheffler. But like, if you have a pool, you have to take Scheffler. You know, if you have a DFS lineup, you kind of almost have to take Scheffler. I haven't looked at prices yet for DFS, but boy, oh boy, we'll all feel stupid when he wins this event by five strokes, and none of us have any money on him. So, I mean, Scheffler is Scheffler. We all know Scheffler at this point. We got to take him in some form or fashion. Like I said, how I'm going to do it is I'm just going to roll over my top 10 and hope he just squeezes into there. Another T10 finish like he did at the last year's Masters would be great for me. I would love that. Rory McIlroy. Rory. Once again, on the quest of trying to complete the career Grand Slam, is snake bitten at the Masters. It's not good. I mean, he has some good finishes. He missed the cut two of the last 3 years, though. But sandwiched in between is a second place finish to Scheffler in 2022. But what we need to know is we need to look at his recent form. And to be honest, this doesn't have Valero Texas Open updated yet. He didn't have great form heading in Valero Texas Open, T24, T21, T21, T19. He did have a pretty good start at Valero, though. Data Golf is not updated. So he finished solo third at Valero, gained 3.6. Oh, that's the final round. Full event, he gained 1.95 strokes with his approach game. Round four, he must have led the field. 3.6. Oh, Kevin Yu gained 5 strokes approach in the last round. So next to Kevin Yu, gained the second most strokes gained approach in the final round of Valero. That's a great sign. Overall, he was third in the field in strokes gained approach. His short game let him down a little bit. He actually wasn't great off the tee either. That's a good sign for Rory. That's a good sign. Solo third, his game's kind of rounding into form. But with that being said, 10-1, I'm just not falling for the Rory trap. I committed a couple years ago, if Rory wins the Masters, I'll be happy enough with him winning that I'll be fine to lose bets. I have fallen for the Rory trap at Augusta National in the past. He's missed the cut two of the last 3 years. It's almost like it's a head case issue with Rory now. Even that solo second he had 2 years ago, that was because of a huge Sunday when he was already out of it. He had really no chance of winning. And then, of course, like he usually does in majors, once he can play carefree golf is usually when he plays his best golf. So I'm not betting on Rory. If he wins, I'll be happy. I'll lose all my bets to see Rory win because I like him. It's a great story. Career Grand Slam. Gotta love all that stuff. I can't bet on him at 10-1. You give me Rory at, you know, 18-1, 20-1, I would take a bet on him. I can't do it with this stacked of field. I can't take him at 10-1. John Rahm, next on the odds list. He's at 12-1 at DraftKings Sportsbook. I will not be betting on John Rahm. Let's bring up the LIV leaderboard here. Data Golf doesn't have that in either, and they just wrapped up theirs. John Rahm at LIV Miami finished T4, so not a bad finish. And since joining LIV, he's gone T3, 8th, 5th, T8. Still, for me to want to bet on him, he'd have to be like winning these LIV events because he is, next to Scottie Scheffler, in my opinion, the best golfer in the world, the second best golfer in the world. He should be, you know, crushing the field in LIV. Shout out Matthew Wolf finishing solo third at LIV Miami. Okay, Matthew Wolf. I remember there's a point in time you were arguing who is going to be the best rookie, Matthew, or who's going to be have the best career of these three rookies, Matthew Wolf, Colin Morikawa, or Victor Hovland. Whew. But hey, maybe a little bit of resurgence on the range goats for Matthew Wolf. Solo third this past week. Not in the Masters field. I'm not seeing enough from Rahm for me to want to bet on him this week. I mean, it's tough with LIV guys because they just don't have a ton of data. So generally, I'm not going to bet on them. I can't do it on John Rahm, even though he's the defending champ, with a very good Masters record, obviously winning it last year. I just can't get there at 12-1. Brooks Koepka, I told you already have a future at 20-1. If you can find a 20-1 price somewhere, he might be worth a bet. Even 18-1, because I told you earlier, Caesars, he's down to 11-1. but Brooks just does not have the form that I'd want to see or the form that we saw from him last year. Like I said earlier, T45 with Lee Westwood at Live Miami, not good. And his recent performances hasn't been good either. But Brooks Koepka does have the history of not playing good in normal events and then bringing it to majors. And maybe that's what happens. And Live this year, he's gone T5, T12, T12, solo 28th. And then T45 or whatever. So I just have my futures ticket outside of that. I mean, top 10 plus 175 maybe. Xander Schauffele is the next on the list. 18 to 1. I can't believe he's 18 to 1. 18 to 1 at BetMGM. Let me see if I can bring up Caesars here. Because I don't really want to look at my phone. And I always struggle to figure out how to get into the actual sports book for Caesars when I'm on my desktop. New York. Here we go. Beauty. Let's check out Xander's odds at 18 to 1. So he's 18 to 1 at least at these, of course. And I'll bring up FanDuel. Here's the thing with Xander. I've been on Xander to win the Masters every year for the past decade, it feels like. It obviously hasn't been the past decade, but it's been a lot. I've placed a lot of bets on Xander to win the Masters. He almost did it for me when he played, when Hideki Matsuyama won it. He had a chance to then put him in the water on 16. 16 to win it. Ugh. But Xander is playing really good golf, guys. But does he have the brain, the mind, the composure to win at the Masters? I have to bet. Because if I don't bet Xander to win the Masters and he wins the Masters, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. You're going to find me in a ditch somewhere. It's not going to be good. And look at his recent form. Of course, the event I bet him at, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, he finished T25. And before that, he went T4, T25, T2, T3. And his Masters, look, I don't remember him missing the cut in 2022. That's wild. 2021 T3, that was when he had a chance to put in the water on 16. T10 last year, T17 in the delayed COVID year, T2 at the 2019 Masters. Yeah, I bet on him there as well. So I think, yes, because, yeah, I think that was the first year. So I bet on him now five straight Masters, and he's finished T2 and T3, T10 last year, T17, and they missed the cut in 2022, which I do not remember. I must have blocked that out of my memory out of trauma. But let me bring up like PGA Tour total strokes gain right now. I'm not going to do like a deep dive on strokes gain data, but let's just look at total strokes gain. And I bet you Xander's like second. Yep, Scottie Scheffler number one, Xander Schauffele number two. I'm disappointed to announce I have to bet on Xander to win the Masters. I do not recommend tailing me. If you watch golf at all, I'm sure you're laughing right now because none of you are even going to consider betting on Xander because he has the composure of a worm. And I've lost, no athlete has cost me more money than Xander Schauffele, but he is now in the best form he's ever been heading into the Masters. I have to do it. I have to. I'll be betting Xander 18 to 1 as a sacrifice to gambler or the gambling god. All right, as I take a sip of my non-alcoholic Heineken. Losing weight's a grind, my friends. How much would I love an actual beer right now? Jordan Spieth, 22 to 1. Do not bet on Jordan Spieth to win the Masters. I know when he burst on the scene, he was fun at the Masters. He won the Masters when? 2015, I was that long ago. Should have won in 2016 when Danny Willett came from behind because Spieth blew it. But his form is terrible. How do you do it with Valero? I don't like that they haven't updated Valero yet. So he did finish T10. He finished T10 of Valero this week. But still, before that T10, missed the cut of the Valspar. Missed the cut of the players. Approach play all over the place. How was his approach play this week? A lot better. Listen, if you want to bet on Jordan Spieth because he had a good Valero Texas Open in a pretty weak field, go for it. I'm not doing it. T4 at the Masters last year, missed cut in 2022, T3 in 2021, T46 in the COVID year 2020. I just think Jordan Spieth is one of the most overvalued golfers on the PGA Tour. and he does not have the form from even considering the T10 at the Valero, just does not have the recent form that gives me a lot of confidence. He's so stressful to watch because he's just all over the map. I'm not betting on Jordan Spieth. I wouldn't recommend doing it either. Hideki Matsuyama, 22-1 at DraftKings, still available. Not the 28-1 price I got last week. That there's no way that price is available anymore. But this is my best bet to win the 2024 Masters. Look at this form. And this includes a T7 this past week. So, WM Phoenix Open, T22. Genesis Invitational, he won, which was a stacked field. T12 at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. T6 at the Players' Championship. And then followed it up with a T7. And if he didn't have a bad first round, he could have been in contention to win the Valero. But he had a bad first round, and that cost him. But he stormed back and finished T7 or T6 or whatever it was that I said. Let's look at his numbers from this week. Hideki Matsuyama, T7, 8-under, lost half a stroke putting per round. But when he won, he's actually been putting better this year than the year that he won the Masters. Keep that in mind. Strokes gained around the green. He leads the PGA Tour in strokes gained around the green, which is huge at Augusta. Huge. That number by Akshay is promising too. But he gained strokes around the green, 1.11 strokes approach per round. I'm guessing round one screwed him in terms of his strokes gained approach numbers. What hurt him in round one? No, his approach was very good. His driving hurt him. His short game hurt him. But he recovered. Off the tee, 0.7. Would like to see more from Hideki off the tee. But I think he's in much better form than he was when he won the Masters in 2021. I will be betting on Hideki Matsuyama. It is my number one pick to win the Masters this week. It's Hideki Matsuyama. He checks every single box imaginable. Great form. Has a win this season. Previous winner, so he has great experience. Great around the greens. Leads the tour in strokes gained around the greens. Obviously, great ball striker. Checks every single box you want for betting on an outright winner at the Masters. I will be taking Hideki Matsuyama. Told you I already have him 28-1. I would still bet him at 22-1. And I would bet that probably sooner rather than later. Who do we got next? Joaquin Neiman. If there's a live guy to bet on this week, it's Joaquin Neiman. This past week, T9 at Live Miami this past week. He might have peaked a little bit too early because he was a popular guy like a month ago. But if you look at his Live form, he won Mayakoba's early February T30 in Las Vegas. Solo third on an Asian Tour event. Won Jeddah, T4 Hong Kong. And then what did I say this past week? T9. Which tells me he might have actually peaked a little bit too early. So I may not be betting on Neiman because of that. I might take Neiman in a couple pools or maybe a DFS lineup. Especially because it's valued pretty high now in terms of the betting odds. 25-1 to win. I might just take him top 10. Maybe what's he at for top 20? These are also dead heat rules. These are not the odds I'll be using for minus 105. So probably like minus 120 for top 20, ties included. Might consider that. But if you want to bet a live guy, Joaquin Neiman's a guy. Ludvig Åberg, or however you pronounce it. There's 15 different pronunciations for Ludvig. I will not be betting on him. He's a first-time guy. He's overvalued because of his name. He's this year's version of Tom Kim from last year. And even though, he had a good... How did he play? He finished T14 this past week. Lost games both. It's not the putting that concerns me. It's the around the greens numbers that concern me for Ludvig. So T14, solo eighth players... T25, Arnold Palmer. For a guy who is playing his first ever event at Augusta, I would need much longer odds than 28-1 to bet on this guy. Theoretically, his driving can help him contend anywhere. It's just those aren't the odds I want to bet on him. Wyndham Clark is another guy who maybe he peaked too early. Now, I'm holding a 48-1 ticket, which you can't even get close to that now. Now he's 28-1. In a FanDuel, he's... which is where I bet the 48-1. Now he's, 28-1 at FanDuel too. Texas Children's Houston Open last week is concerning. T31, lost strokes approach, lost strokes around the green. He was peaking there at the Players in the API. And he obviously won the Pebble Beach. If you look at his actual, resume on Data Golf here. He's an up and down golfer, which I don't think I've actually noticed before. Last year, he won the Wells Fargo, then missed cut of the Players, T12 of the Memorial, and then won the U.S. Open, and then T29, T25, T33, T66, T15, and then third at the Tour Championship, T56, T37, 19th, T29, T39, win, T41, missed cut, second, T2, T31. So it's either like he finishes like 30th or he finishes top five. Obviously, the big thing against Wyndham Clark this week is that he's never played at Augusta National before, which, once again, guys have come close to winning lately, like Will Zalatoris, second to, I think that was Scheffler, the Scheffler year, or was it the Matsuyama year? I think it was the Scheffler year. We'll bring it up when I bring up his odds here soon, but it's possible to compete, but I like my 48-1 ticket. I do not like a 28-1 ticket on Wyndham Clark. Patrick Cantlay, no thank you. No, thank you. I'm okay. No, thanks. No, thanks. Last two starts, T36, T68, lost significant strokes with his approach play. And not great history at the Masters. 2019, he finished T9. T20, 2020, he finished T17. Last year, he finished T14. But once again, we're talking recent form. He does not fit the bill for a recent form guy. He has one top 10 finish this season. It was a T4 at the Genesis. But he's backed that up with two bad starts, including a T68 at the Players. I'd stay far away from Patrick Cantlay. Cam Smith to me seems like a guy, and this is based off, maybe reports, maybe biased reports, but he seems like a guy who took the money from Liv and then just has not really cared about golf since then. Maybe that's not fair. How'd Cam Smith finish last week at Liv Miami? He withdrew. That's not good. Cam Smith withdrew last week. Why did Cameron Smith withdraw last week? Let me see if I can find this out, because I did not see this somewhere. Okay, you know, has withdrawn from Live Golf due to illness before the Masters next week. Not great. How did he shoot in the first round? 3 over the first round. Not great, Cam Smith. Not great. Hey, if you want to take the money and then just chill, then I don't blame you, but I'm not going to bet on you. He did finish T2 in Hong Kong last month. So good finish there. Still, 30-1, no interest. Victor Hovland. He couldn't chip last year. He figured out how to chip. He won a bunch of events, and now he can't figure out how to chip again. Last 4 events, it's hard to lose this many strokes around the green. Victor Hovland at the Players Championship lost 1.65 strokes per round. This is true strokes gained around the greens. Not good. You have to be good around the greens at the Masters. You absolutely have to. And that's why his finishes at the Masters have been not terrible. T32, T21, T27, T7. I believe he was 2019, he was a low amateur when he finished T32. Last year, T7 is promising. But I'm not betting on him to win. Until, especially now with the form his chipping is in. Look, last year he figured out how to chip a little bit and then rattle off some wins. And then this year, back to not being able to chip. And for that reason, I'm out on Victor Hovland. Justin Thomas just fired Butch Harmon, his caddy, which is an interesting move because Butch Harmon has had a lot of success as a caddy at Augusta National. Maybe a new caddy is going to be the fix for him. I mean, we have seen golfers get a new caddy and immediately win. His approach play has been very good. His putting, I mean, I know that I was saying you don't want to necessarily count out bad putters, but his putting has been atrocious. You got to at least be able to hit a couple putts. And his chipping hasn't been great either. His off the tee play has been inaccurate off the tee. I mean, I don't hate Justin Thomas. If you want to bet on Justin Thomas and make a good case for it, like, I'm not going to argue with you, but it's another golfer I'm staying away from. There's a lot of top tier golfers that I just don't think I want to bet on at all, which is good. It makes it a little bit easier for me. Dustin Johnson. How is old DJ played? Respect to him for taking the live money and just being like, yeah, I want more money. And I want to golf less. He won Las Vegas in February, very fitting. T27 at Jeddah, T21 in Hong Kong. And last week he finished, or this weekend, I guess I should say, he finished T24. Last year at the Masters, he finished T48, T12, and then missed the cut. He has not played well at the Masters since winning it and the COVID year, which some people would say that wasn't the true Masters with it being in November, whenever it was. Yeah, November 15th. I'm out on DJ. Bryson DeChambeau, who I think actually has been playing good golf. Now, he famously is probably cursed at Augusta National since he said it's like a par 67 for him, and then he like missed the cut right after he said that. And he's had a terrible history at the Masters. T21 his first year, and then since then, and that was in 2016. He was probably an amateur then. I think he finished low amateur. Since then, he's gone T38, T29, T34, T46, missed cut. But he's in good form. Last, let's see where he finished. I think I saw he was top 10 this week too. So T7 this week at on LIV. Before that, he finished T6, solo fourth, T9. Bryson DeChambeau is in good form. He might be a guy I might sprinkle on as a potential cheap option, or at least not super cheap, but middle of the pack option for a DFS lineup, for a pool. I think everyone's discounting Bryson DeChambeau this week. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a good week. Outside, I'd probably, for my LIV guys, if I were to rank them, I'd probably go Joaquin Neiman 1, Brooks Koepka 2, Bryson DeChambeau 3. Next up, we have Will Zalatoris at 35-1. My best friend, Will Zalatoris. The harder the golf course, the better he plays. Not good. Form is not good, though. He peaked at the Genesis at the API, T2, T4, and he's finished missed cut of the players in T74 at Texas Children's Houston Open. Not great. And his ball striking numbers have gone off a cliff. That's not promising. 35-1, though, not a terrible price for a guy who he has played at the Masters twice, and he finished solo second in T6. So Will Zalatoris, not locking this in yet, obviously, but I might take him. What's his top 20 for dead heat? Plus 115, so he's probably around even money for top 20 all ties are paid. That might be how I'm going to play Will Zalatoris this week. If I want to get aggressive, I might go top 10. Not good enough for him for me to want to bet on him to win, though. But Will Zalatoris at that price point is an interesting consideration. Tony Finau, big tone. No interest in Tony Finau. I'm out on Tony Finau. Although he T2 at the Texas Children's Houston Open, that was an event that he's historically done well at, though. He's won it in the past. He has had some success at the Masters. T5, the year the Tiger won it. Hasn't been great lately. I just think Tony's name, because he's such a popular golfer and people know who he is, now makes him overvalued because he actually hasn't lived up to that name in like 2 years now. Look at this data golf profile. Not super promising anywhere. Strokes gained around the green in the Texas Children's Houston Open is promising, I guess. He did gain strokes in three of the four areas, just didn't in putting. There's not enough for me to want to take Tony at his current price. I'm out on Tony. Matt Fitzpatrick, who I think actually has played good golf of late. He's a major champion. He's a DraftKings 40-1. Finished fifth at the Players' Championship. Did he play this past week? Yes. T10 this past week. Promising. T10 at the Masters last year. T14 at the Masters in 2022. And he's 40-1. Matt Fitzpatrick is an interesting option this week. He checks some boxes. Major success. Decent course history at the very least. A long course history. Decent form. Solo fifth of the Players. T10 this past week. He was bad at the start of the year because he had a weight in his driver that he finally found. Matt Fitzpatrick, interesting option. Not committing to betting on him right now, but interesting option. I'm going to try to go through some of these a little bit quicker because this is turning into a very long episode. Colin Morikawa, 40-1, no. How did he finish this past week? Because he had been terrible before. T75. Not good, Colin Morikawa. Did he lose strokes approach again? Colin Morikawa has now lost strokes gained approach three straight events. Literally unheard of in his career. I wouldn't bet Morikawa 100-1 this week. Decent Masters history. Other than that, nope. I'm out. Max Homa. Nope, need Max Homa to actually contend at a major before I consider him at any majors. And he has been terrible at the Masters throughout his career. Miscut, T48, T43 last year. Not good enough form. T64 at the Players' Championship. Does not check enough boxes for me. T25 this past week. No. Not good enough form. Tommy Fleetwood, who did play well this past week. T7. Strokes gained approach. Strokes gained around the green. Tommy Fleetwood, another head case. He is Xander Schauffele light. If you want to bet on a head case who's going to choke away a major, bet on Xander instead. He's better. He's a worse version of Xander Schauffele. Shane Lowry. I might bet Shane Lowry to be my first round leader. If you want a little tidbit for that, Shane Lowry is second on tour behind Patrick Cayley right now in first round scoring average this season. Although T29 in Singapore earlier last month is not great. Does have a good Masters history though. Last 4 years, T25, T21, T3, T16. Does have a major victory as well. That is promising. He did not play this past week at the Valero. Shane Lowry might be like a first-round leader type of bet for me. Sam Burns has been terrible at the Masters, if I recall correctly, and I don't think he's in good form either. So I'm likely out on Sam Burns. Yeah, missed cut of the Valspar. T29 Masters last year, missed cut the year before. No. If he was in really great good form, yes, but not now. I think Sahith Theegala is going to be a popular dark horse pick this year, but I also think Sahith's a bit of a head case. He's almost too smart for his own good. You kind of want golfers who are dumb because they won't get inside their own head. Sahith, we've seen him crack under pressure in the past at the WM Phoenix Open a couple of years ago. He is a guy whose course, his style of play fits the course well. He did finish solo ninth here last year. If you want to bet him, you know, top 20, top 10, I wouldn't argue with that. But other than that, I'm kind of out on Sahith Theegala. I'll be cheering for him. I think he's one of those popular picks that ends up not playing that well. So I'm out on Sahith. Tyrrell Hatton. How has Tyrrell Hatton done since going to Live? I like Tyrrell Hatton. That was one of the biggest heartbreakers in terms of all the Live signings. Not good. T8, T12, T15, T21. He's trending in the wrong direction. Did finish T4 this week. Bad Masters history. His best finish was a T18 and 21. A moat on Tyrrell Hatton. I'm just going to go rapid fire a little bit more now. Actually, how was Patrick Reed? He was a past champion, obviously. T9 this past week. Patrick Reed is interesting. Placed fourth in Macau at an Asian Tour event in March. Finished T4 last year. Patrick Reed is a good DFS play. DFS, top 20, top 10, pool. Patrick Reed's style of play fits his course really well. Obviously, a past winner, and, I mean, T9 at Live. Fourth place at the event before that. Could be in good form. I'm going to bet Patrick Reed somehow. I know that we hate him. You can't let that get to your head too much. I'm going to go rapid fire and then wrap things up. Jason Day, all year I wanted to bet on Jason Day at the Masters because of his Masters history, but he's in terrible form. Missed cut, not good at the Houston Open, T35, T36. Not good enough form, even close, and actually hasn't played well the last three Masters either. So doesn't have the resume that I was going to bet on Jason. I'm off it. So no Jason Day for me. Cameron Young, no. I don't think it's... style of play fits the Masters well. I don't think he's in good enough form right now, although he did, you know, finish his classic second place a couple events ago, or his last event, solo second. T7 at the Masters last year. Maybe Cameron, I'm just not a Cameron Young guy. I just can't get behind Cameron Young. I don't know why. Brian Harman, lefty, major champion. Does have a T12 at the Masters on his resume. Finished T2 at the Players. Missed the cut of the Valspar, which is, you know, a little bit concerning. But I will be betting on Brian Harman. I might bet him. maybe top lefty. If Akshay's favored, maybe take Brian Harmon top lefty. Maybe take him top 20, top 10. I'll be betting on Brian Harmon some way. Russell Henley, that's an interesting one. Didn't he just play well this week? Solo fourth this week, gained a ton of strokes approach. Second in the field next to Akshay in strokes gained approach, Russell Henley. T4 here last year. And before that, T30, T15, like, he's a solid Masters history. Russell Henley gained 2.1 strokes per round at Valero this past week. Am I going to bet on 60-1? Am I going to bet on Russell Henley? I think I'm going to bet on Russell Henley. What are the best odds of the 70-1 at FanDuel? 70-1 at Caesars. $66-1 at BetMGM. Well, I just found my dark horse, my friends. I mean, he obviously hasn't won a major, but T4 here last year, that, you know, checks the box of finishing in the top 10 at a major in his career. I just found my dark horse. Is anyone else on Russell Henley? Did I just discover this? Maybe not. Maybe a lot of people are on Russell Henley. I'm locking him in right now. Caesar Sportsbook, Russell Henley. 70-1. Done. There you go. That's why I do this live. I figured there's going to be a golfer I was going to find that I end up liking. Unbelievable good form after last week. Top five finish at the Masters last year. Where is he in, like, total strokes gained this season? I mean, 47th, not great, but I mean, he'll go way up that after this past year. Where is he in the world golf rankings? Is he top 30? Oh, yes, I get it. Accept cookies. He's top 30. Top 30 in the world golf rankings. He's 23. So he checks off that trend. All right, friends. I just found my dark horse, Russell Henley. Corey Connors is classic. I might just have to bet on Corey Connors. He might be my Canadian guy. I won't bet on him probably to win. I mean, solid form, T13. Fourth in the field in strokes gained approach this past week at Valero. Short game kind of killed him. Obviously has a good match. He missed the cut last year. Yikes. Missed the cut on the Masters last year. Before that, he finished T6, T8, T10. So very good Masters history. I'll bet on Corey Connors in some form or fashion. I do every year. Sung Jae Im, terrible form. Sergio, no interest there. Adam Scott, no interest. Tom Kim, 100-1. I mean, Siwoo Kim, doesn't he have a good history at the Masters? That might be interesting. But I think I found my dark horse. I think that's the end of the show. I think that's how I finish this podcast, is I just found live on this show my dark horse. Siwoo Kim could be an interest. T17, T6. I don't think he played this past week. Nope. He has a solid Masters. Consistent. Consistently in the top 35. No, I think that's Justin Rose, no. Ricky Fowler, no. Denny McCarthy's off a hot start. Obviously just lost in a playoff, but no. Phil Mickelson finished second place last year. People forget Phil Mickelson's finished second at the Masters last year, which, to be honest, probably isn't quite the same, but it's almost as impressive as his win at the PGA Championship, because he was worse coming into the Masters last year, and he finished T2, even older than he was before. So, but no, probably, well, he finished, I found Phil do this T6 at Jeddah. Yeah, 47th this past week. No, I'll stay away from Phil. Any other names? Sepp Keegan, Harris English. Didn't I hear? I think I heard someone recently say Harris English at this event. I missed the cut this past week. That's not good. missing the cut this past week is not good. No, lost ton of strokes approach. Before that, he was in good form. T21 the Masters. Close, but no cigar. I mean, if you want 100-1 odds, I mean, for green on the greens, I might take him as my closest to the win for that contest with Cody. I might take Harris English 150-1, but Chris Kirk, probably not. Peaked too early this season. Yeah, has not been really good since the Hawaii swing. Bubba Watson, Nikolai Højgaard, no. Baronk, no. Nick Taylor, 160-1 if he wants them completely off the board, sure. Matthew Pavon at one point was leading the tour in total strokes gained this season, but it's fallen off. Gary Woodland, I think, is sneakily coming off a good start. T21. Putting is terrible. But promising for approach play. I hope Gary Woodland could be a guy who's going to win an event at some point this year and kind of get back on it. It's going to be a great story. It's not the time to get on him. No. Ryo Hisatsuni. I'm sure I mispronounced it anyways, at 350-1, sure. Didn't he have a good finish at Valero? No, T70. Why did I think he was like... because he shot 5 over on Sunday. He had a bad weekend. No, none of these other names are going to stick out. So that's it. That's the deep dive episode. I'll come out, like I said, I might even record an episode Wednesday night where I just go through my list of all my bets. Because like I said, not a lot of odds are out. DraftKings has the most. I don't think FanDuel or BetMGM have any extra odds outside of to win. DraftKings has top 20, top 30, top 40, top 5, and I think winning margin, some parlays that I've never bet. Top Canadian, Corey Connors plus 110. I actually don't really like those odds. That's interesting. I don't know if they always do this, but the DraftKings is now offering an including ties market for placings. Interesting. But they don't have their full, menu of bets. So Tuesday night, or at the very least, I'll tweet them out sometime Wednesday, just a list of all my bets. But hopefully I gave you some interesting stuff to consider when you start your pools and everything this week. One of the pools you should be starting is my 5 and done, splashsports.com/baconbets. Click the link in the description, $25 buy-in. Please join that. That would mean a lot to me. And the next thing you want to keep an eye out from me for the Masters is Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern, BetSided YouTube channel, Green on the Greens, myself, Cody, and maybe a third person. We'll be giving out some bets for that. So, until then, good luck with all your pools and whatever other research you're going to do this week. I can't wait for Thursday. Masters is the best. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Rate and review the podcast, all that good stuff. And I'll talk to you all on Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern live stream, BetSided YouTube channel. Gambler, bless.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.